To date, it's been an international consortium of donors, a very ad hoc, siloed pot of money. There was an emergency situation. Let's get some money to pay for antiretroviral treatments for people who are about to die. And that was very sensible crisis response. But the reality is that once people are put on treatment, it's almost inconceivable to take them off treatment. Whoever takes them off treatment is saying, you're going to die because I'm not prepared to pay for it. So in a sense, African governments, and this basically applies in Africa, once people are put on antiretroviral treatment, that locks African governments in to keeping them on treatment. And it's that lock-in which creates the future liability.
And I understand that for some of these countries, it's actually a substantial portion of their GDP even needs to be spent on treatment.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a future liability that can't be ducked. In a way, it's even harder than a debt. You can renege on debts, but you can't renege on people on antiretroviral treatment without condemning them to death. So we've calculated that for a few countries. How big is it? If we look at Malawi, which is the worst affected we found, the future cost of treatment is equal to a debt burden of 80% of GDP. Now, the actual financial debt burden of Malawi is only about 30% of GDP. And that takes the true indebtedness of Malawi to 110% of GDP, and that pushes it over the threshold of debt sustainability.
So what happens in that case? I guess whose responsibility is it to step in and balance that?
The international community has really been there, done that, and that's why it provided debt relief, because it recognized that unsustainable debt burdens, first of all, had to be met by the international community, and it was sensible to face them up front, because a big debt burden was a handicap to economic growth. And so it's better to come to arrangements which land that unsustainable debt very firmly with the international community.
What about the importance of national governments? Obviously, they're going to have to do a substantial amount of coordination with international organizations in terms of getting the funding there, but then actually implementing the treatment itself.
That's right. To date, the coordination has been between a Ministry of Health and the international community. In the future, the key coordination is going to be between ministries of finance and donors. Ministries of finance will, as they do already, finance ministries of health. But now the Ministry of Health, for example, takes the decision, do we focus on treatment or do we focus on prevention, just on medical criteria. Whereas ministries of finance need to nudge ministries of health to say it's important that from a cost effectiveness point of view, you scale up prevention.
So actually on that note of prevention, the World Health Organization has been promoting treatment as the sort of primary way of addressing prevention, because people who are taking antiretroviral drugs are less infectious. But that sounds like that's not going to be necessarily enough to address the level of prevention that needs to happen.
Antiretroviral treatment does act as prevention, but it's a pretty expensive way of achieving it. There are other more cost-effective ways of reducing infection, which ministries of health need to be promoting. And indeed, the big emphasis upon treatment has meant that there's been the budgets for research and experimentation in prevention have been minimal. That has shifted it from a medical emergency to a financial emergency. Each person who now gets infected with HIV adds to that future debt burden. And so it's sensible for budgets to shift towards prevention and not just focus on treatment. A dollar of prevention is good news, whilst ever it prevents a dollar of liability. And we're not there yet.